When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
All right, Mike Evans. And it's going on here high in the air, deep to center field, way back it may go. Gone! A grand slam! A grand slam! Mike Piazza!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 203 or 204. Depends on when you hear this. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So football is here. Camp is here. We got Hard Knocks tonight for the New York Giants. And, of course, we got Aaron Rodgers news for the Jets. Well, first, they unveiled a new uniform, the retro alternates they'll wear once this year. Fire, all white, a little bit of green, beautiful, love it. Love the Giants uniforms, too, those retro 80s uniforms. The ones they're wearing this year for the 100-year anniversary is just, they're disgusting. But they are what they are. They're supposed to be ugly, I think, to show how long it's been, 100 years, and that's what the fashion of the day was. Although the Roaring 20s, everyone wants to have Roaring 20s parties, right? Everyone wants to be a flapper. Every girl wants to be a flapper. Roaring 20 parties, the guys put on a suit, women get into these flapper dresses. You go to a speakeasy. Ah, if only it were 100 years ago and the Yankees had Babe Ruth. But alas, they do not. But we were talking about football, did we not? So, of course, Aaron Rodgers is out there too. And the Aaron Rodgers story is just, let me just put it this way. I love Aaron Rodgers. Okay? I'm just going to say it. I'm completely in his corner. I think he's going to be healthy this year. I think he's going to lead the Jets to the playoffs. I think the Jets are going to be playing in the AFC Championship game. I also think this entire story about the days he missed and where he went with Egypt or whatever he was doing is the biggest overblown, none of it matters. I've never thought it mattered. I understand the days were, mandatory. He was there earlier. The team doesn't care. He is the offense. He is everything. He doesn't need to be there for those 2 days. It's a bunch of junk. I wish the coach would have put it differently, but even though he didn't, I never cared. None of it was anything significant to me. But having said all that, Aaron Rodgers is so pompous that sometimes I can't stand it. And I would love to just be like, man, I can't wait to watch you play football. I'm so pumped about the Jets. I am. And this gets into, because I'm a Giant fan. I don't feel this. Yankees and Mets has this dynamic. Clearly, hockey teams have the dynamic. I mean, if there were Net fans, clearly the basketball teams would have the dynamic. But for me, the Jets and the Giants are worlds apart. I don't consider them city rivals. They play in the same building. I guess for a brief moment with Rex, because Rex decided to take it on. Other than that, I hope the Jets win every game, every year. Other than when they play the Giants. I never understood Giant fans who don't like Marash. Marash is a guy, and I have buddies too, Giant fans who hate the Jets. Marash hates the Jets. I have no idea why. They never play. They don't battle for anything. They're hardly ever good at the same time. It's just weird why anyone would hate the Jets, the Giants. I can understand why the Jets would have the typical, little brother syndrome that the Mets have, that the Islander fan has, and all the, because the big teams are the Giants, the Rangers, the Knicks, the Yankees. So I get why the little brother has the issue, but why a Giant fan would have any issue with the Jets, I don't know. But having said that, I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to the season. I'm hoping he stays healthy. I think the coach is a little bit better. I don't want to say much better, but I think he's a little bit better than he gets credit for. He's really had no quarterback whatsoever. I'd like to see him actually have an offense and see if he can, do anything with it. But having said that, some of the comments made by Aaron Rodgers recently are asinine. The idea he tried to spin this, when he talked about it, he references his time with the Packers, and he talks about they're pretty much all just, camp days or whatever. Actually, I think we have it in there, Fleegs. Do you mind getting it? It's it's in the Jets folder. What he says about the time he missed and how he's a victim in all of this. And it's been poorly put out there by the media. And it's been a misconception of what actually happened. It drives me absolutely up a wall. Do we have it? Here, so this is Aaron Rodgers' comments on him missing a couple of mandatory days at minicamp.
The thing that I think people don't understand is that when I was in the NFC North and playing for that team years ago, there used to be a real thing called minicamp where it was, you had one of them usually, sometimes it was right after the draft, but either way, it was five practices in 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so two practices on Friday, two on Saturday, one on Sunday. Now it's not minicamp. They can arbitrarily put a tag on whatever week of OTAs they want. So this is the mini camp week, which makes it somehow more mandatory than the other weeks. But it was an OTA schedule. That's how words can be a little deceiving from time to time. You can make a story out of the fact that I missed a mini camp when it was really two OTA days.
Right.
Interesting.
That came to the first 10.
What the hell are you talking about? Like, honestly, he didn't say anything of any meaning whatsoever in that. That was a whole bunch of jargon to try and confuse you into thinking anything other than what actually happened. And here's what happened, plain and simple. And by the way, I don't care. That should have been his take. His take should have been like, listen, I had this thing planned. The days ran together. I had multiple people involved in it. It was just one of those unfortunate things. I know the offense very, very well. I cleared it with the Jets prior. The fact of the matter is you missed mandatory days. I 100% agree with you. You were there for the first 10. It is a bit arbitrary on which days are mandatory and which are not. Of course, life is arbitrary. Everything is, if you zoom out far enough, none of this makes any sense. But to go back to your days in the NFC North and what really the schedule is, here's the fact of the matter, Aaron. The coach came out and said it, and it's the truth. There are days that are mandatory. There are days in minicamp that aren't mandatory. There were a total of 12 or 13 days, 2 days, right? So it's 12 days. You were there for 10 of out of the 12, which for me, and I would think any rational person considering his Hall of Fame track record and what he means to the Jets and how he knows the offense backwards and forwards, 10 out of 12, whichever days are deemed mandatory, is perfectly fine for me. But to come out and talk about how, well, it's really the miscommunication of the wording and what it actually is and the way it's perceived and what people are concerned about. And your coach came out and said, today's mandatory, it's an excuse, we don't know why he's not here. Just own it. You're Aaron Rodgers. Stop playing the victim of miscommunication. There were mandatory days. You didn't show up. You went to Egypt. Now, you were there for 10 out of 12. Good enough for me. I'm totally with you. But don't portray it as some sort of miscommunication or miscarriage of justice. They were mandatory. That's the rule. You didn't show. I don't think it's a big deal at all. I don't think his teammates care. I think I wouldn't even talk about it if I were him. Like, yeah, I had a thing in Egypt. I pulled the line from Robin Williams. I had to go see about a girl. I don't care what you had, just whatever. You had to be in Egypt. That's it. But the idea that, well, are they really mandatory? Are they, yes, they really were. They really, really were. Now, not for you, they weren't mandatory because here you are. You didn't show up. There was no consequence for it. Maybe you got fined or whatever. But, I mean, were they really mandatory? No, you're right. They weren't. Not for you. But just be honest and own it. So it's just so annoying because, he tends to do this stuff. And then he comes out and he makes a crack about they really are the Jersey Jets and the Giants are really the New Jersey Giants. Like, what's the point of that? Like, what are you trying to say? Are you just trying to be funny? Like, what are you trying to accomplish with that? Please, New Jersey? Go ahead. Great. Maybe they'll allow you to make left turns. I don't know. I don't know what's going to benefit you from pleasing New Jersey. But that's fine. I don't care. You do play in New Jersey. But, I mean, it's just, I just can't wait for him to start playing football. If you think, like, if you honestly just took a second and think of all the time that we have spent on Aaron Rodgers. All the different things that have happened with Aaron Rodgers being a New York Jet. From I intend to play for the Jets. From that moment to now. All the things that have actually happened. And he's played four plays. It's bonkers. It's absolute bonkers. The amount of nonsense that has happened. Obviously, I admit that. It's all nonsense, and a lot of it is his creation. Believe me, I talked about me being hypocritical before about liking bat flips but not liking slow and nonsense around the bases. I mean, he could not have been more hypocritical. Scolding the Jets on doing nothing that has anything to do, that doesn't have anything to do with winning. That's all we should be focused on. And then he's doing everything from, you know, talking about all kinds of nonsense on podcasts to taking on Fauci to running for vice president. I mean, he's done everything other than try and win. Now, I also think he's trying to win, and I think it's important to him, and I think I take him at his word when he says he plans to be here for a while, and he's rejuvenated, and he wants to see this through, and he wants to bring a championship to New York. I believe him. I do. And I think he's good enough to do it, and I think this team is good enough to do it. Devontae Adams or not. I do. I'm pumped for the Jet season. But please, don't try and manipulate this thing into somehow you've been mistreated. You weren't. You decided to go on vacation instead of being there for mandatory days. Just say, hey, listen, there were 12 days. I was here for 10 of them. I understand the two I missed were mandatory. I'm sorry. That's it. But instead, it's, well, really, if you think about it, what happens is they're OTA days, but they're really just, you know, camp days and the mini camp days, but they're really just OTA days, and like there are 12 OTA days and I missed two. Like, I don't even know what you're saying. I don't even know what you're saying. And then I wish you would have challenged the guy giving the interview when the guy went, oh, really interesting. Like, yeah, what did I just mean? The guy had no idea what Aaron Rodgers was talking about. None. When I played for that team in the NFC off, really what happens is it's camp days and like they just bundled up and then the camp days and it's really not, and then they're like 10 out of 12. Oh, interesting. That guy had no clue what Aaron Rodgers said or was trying to say. None. That's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting. You didn't show up for two mandatory days. Now go out there and play football already. Man, oh man, this guy. I it's unbelievable, but he still hasn't lost me. I'm still with you, Aaron. I'm ready to watch you run out there. I'm not a sentimental one. I'm really not. Him running out onto that field, 9/11, with that flag to, you know, usher in the brand new era of Jets football. That was the most epic moment ever. And to have it followed up with what happened is a disaster. And maybe that's it for me. And I'm not even a Jet fan. I have to see this through. Like all the talk about, oh, they should move on. He's old. I don't believe it. It's this, it's that. Like, I have to see it. I want to see it so badly. And I believe it's going to be special. I really do. I think they're the best team in the division. I think they're going to win the division. And I think they're going to be playing Patrick Mahomes, Taylor Swift, and the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. My man Fleas is going to be torn on who to root for. No, I'm just kidding. But he did say he had a question for me after all of this, so I'm curious what the question could be.
So I think it goes along with all of this, right? Like Everything you've been saying, pretty much in lockstep with you. Aaron Rodgers, king of just talking forever and saying nothing. Yes. He's perfected it.
Right.
And I think most of the time he knows he's saying nothing.
Right.
But
he should be a politician eventually.
Not while he's running. He is perfect for that, to just speak for an hour and say absolutely nothing.
Yep.
But there's been this weird thing with Rodgers, going back long before he was a Jet, long before there were ever even connections there.
Sure.
He's been treated like the villain and the enemy for a long time. I think he's just broke. Again, I think this happened before he came to the Jets,
sure,
where he just snapped because no matter what he did and said, even in the times he was right, and obviously there were times where he was wrong,
sure,
the world just took on Aaron Rodgers wrong. Aaron Rodgers is the bad guy. Perfect marriage with the Jets, who, no matter what happens, we might, because of their history, and the obviously the losing is a big part of it.
Sure.
But they're wrong. They're the bad guy.
Right.
There was so much talk, not with just today and yesterday and Rodgers giving this interview and all of the nonsense about, and Rodgers, he seems clearly annoyed that we heard the reports and then it comes off this way in the interview.
Right.
Comes off annoyed that this was called an unexcused absence.
Right.
I ask you, you're in the media. Is there a single person in the media who was critical of the Jets for saying, well, they could have handled this better, saying it was unexcused? Is there a single person who had a comment like that or wrote a story, whatever it was, went on TV?
Who will now defend?
That had the Jets. I get where you're going. We could do that one too. But the original one I was thinking of was, had the Jets said that? Had Saleh came out and said, listen, he had a trip planned. We know it. It's an excused absence. Everybody else, it's mandatory that they're here. Would a single one of those people not criticize the Jets? Because I think 100% of them would have had the same, hey, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Like, there is no... Unfortunately, Rodgers caused this by going on the trip.
Correct.
But there is not a single one of those people that would have changed it. Their take was, Jets wrong, Rodgers wrong, no matter what.
Right. No, I don't think you're wrong. If they came out and said, look, we're going to excuse Aaron because he needs to go on vacation, but everyone else has to be here, of course. Oh, you're playing favorites. You allowed this guy to come in. Not only does he pick the roster, pick up the backup quarterback, now he decides what's mandatory and what's not. Of course, that would have been the story 100%. Now, to be fair, a lot of the media didn't care, though. They killed the Jets for the wording of it, right?
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying the ones who got on them and are now getting our – they would have gotten on them either way. And honestly, I do think had – the Jets said he's excused, everybody else has to be here.
Right.
That would have been a worse look.
Right. No, I agree.
They had no good options to choose from.
No, once he went to Egypt,
Aaron Rodgers is the one that put them in that situation.
No doubt. So, 100%. So, for him to be upset with what was said, there was no way around flack. There was no way around getting crap for him not being there on mandatory.
And that's the problem with him right now, because he's, I think, unfairly taking heat for stuff he didn't deserve it for.
Right.
He now is not willing to take any responsibility for anything, including this is one situation where it is on him.
No.
But he can't accept it.
Right. No, I mean, I agree. He can't. It's not just there. It's also like when someone said, when he got challenged on the idea of, you know, you've kind of told the team it should be about just winning and anything else is noise, we need to eliminate it, and yet you're doing all this stuff. Oh, it's in the offseason. No, it's not. You were doing interviews. You know, you had comments about Jimmy Kimmel and Epstein during the season. You had interviews. You're challenging, COVID rules, which is fine. But you're allowed to challenge COVID rules. You're an American, but then don't criticize your team when you're clearly creating an issue. You're taking on Fauci. You're challenging Fauci to, like, you know, a television event.
It's almost like the Yankees with All In, and now the Rodgers with the no. We didn't say that.
Right.
You put that out into the world.
Exactly
right. You did that. That's on you.
Yeah.
Now we're just, holding you to the standard that you set.
Correct. 100%. And then when asked, like, that's the offseason stuff. No, we're not just talking about running for vice president. We're talking about all the other nonsense you've created. So, yeah, no doubt. Rodgers is a conundrum. And that's why it just needs to – it doesn't work if he doesn't play. He's got to play. And I'm looking forward to seeing him play. And hopefully he can stay healthy. They've revamped the offensive line a bit. They've done a great job revamping the offensive line. Hopefully they stay healthy because they've got Hall of Famers there as long as they stay healthy. We'll see if they add Adams to the wide receiving core. But I think Hall, Garrett, Garrett Wilson, the new offensive line, and Aaron Rodgers in this offense he's super comfortable in. Add Mike Williams. Hopefully he's going to stay healthy. I think they have enough offensively to at least be good. I mean, maybe they won't be dynamic. Maybe they won't be the best offense in the league. They might not have the Dolphins passing game necessarily, but they should be good. And I think the defense is still a unit that's top of the league. Top two, three, four defense in the league. They're not the 85 Bears, as they might proclaim, but they're still a damn good defense. And if this offense is cooking and a little bit, and they're scoring, and the defense doesn't have to be perfect, and Saleh can relax his mind instead of focusing on the idea of trying to, drag a quarterback by the ear through the whole damn thing. Maybe he can be a coach. I don't know. By no means am I saying Saleh's a great head coach who's only being hampered by the quarterback. What I'm saying is I don't know he's as bad as everybody thinks he is because he's been dealing with an impossible quarterback situation, which I don't know if you've paid attention to football for the last 10 years. It's kind of a critical component of the game. So the idea he's playing with Wilson this whole time, he's trying to juggle between Wilson and, you know, Mike White and everybody else, Joe Flacco and everybody else under the sun who's been terrible for him, with an offensive coordinator who, let's be fair, works with one quarterback and one quarterback only. Like, I'm just not ready to declare, despite all the other nonsense and asking for cell phones and trying to figure out leaks and all the other crap that I agree point to the signs of a bad head coach. I'm just not ready to declare him one when he's had to deal with such a ridiculously poor quarterback room. Doesn't mean he's a good one. It just means so many people are ready to stamp him as a terrible head coach. I can't put the stamp there. I'm hovering. I got the stamp in my hand, the ink's on it, I'm hovering. But I just want to see what he does with an actual offense and an actual quarterback. Ray and Edison, what's up, Ray?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. A couple things. You took the words out of my mouth. I'm a longtime Giants fan.
Took the words out of my mouth. Although I don't remember kissing you. But that's okay. What's going on?
First of all, like 25 years, I had just two dogs, and one was named Taylor, and one was named Tiki. So that's how Giants fans
are. There
you
go.
I have no problem with the Jets, and I can't wait to see Aaron Rodgers play. Yeah. I waited last hour. I bought a jersey, and I have no problem. I have Jet fans. I don't hate the Jets.
I mean, the jerseys are a little bit much, but here's my point. Unless you're
it was like a t-shirt.
Right. Well, my point is, like, I watch the games. Typically, hopefully, I have to check the schedule. I forget, but hopefully they're not playing at the same time over and over again. But like, you watch the Giants at 1, then you put on the Jets at 4. Like, these are the teams we watch. We're so entrenched in football. Unless they're my bitter rival, I have to either dislike someone or I have to, like, other than that, like, I don't hate, you know, I don't really have the same feeling as I do on other teams inside my division or conference or whatever. Like, the Jets are the team I just happen to watch, unless you're lucky enough to really have, you know, the red zone or you know, the Sunday package, and you can watch all the games for the most part. And I would think most New Yorkers who love football watch the Giants, watch the Jets, watch Sunday Night Football with the red zone mixed in.
That's what we do. And one more thing. I'm going on vacation next week for 10 days. LBI. Nice. I've got my transistor AM/FM radio, and I'm going to have the fan on the entire time.
There we go.
And I can't wait. So I won't call you every night. I apologize.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Enjoy your vacation. Enjoy your 10 days. You don't have to call me. I'll be all right. Thank you. I'll somehow figure out a way without you. But I appreciate the calls as always. Yeah, no, LBI, we rented before my second son was even born, my oldest was, who's now 7, was 1, and we rented out a house in LBI. And it was great. And much like everything else in my life, we say, oh, we're going to do this every year, and then we don't do it. And then my wife started selling Disney, and she's always loved Disney. When she graduated college, her and her sister went to Disney World. Like, not that that's that crazy. I mean, there are people who do honeymoons in Disney. And I always mocked it, but now I've been to some of the parks. I've been to, this is how you know, it's 2:26 in the morning and I'm losing it because I'm literally planning a vacation. I've been to Epcot. There you go, Chris. And I could spend a couple days just walking around Epcot, drinking around the world. Don't get me wrong. Eating and drinking at Epcot is the best. But, so my LBI vacations have gone the way of the dodo as we end up in Disney every single year. And by the way, again, if you want to hit me up on Twitter, my wife, if you're planning a Disney trip, hit me up. It's a free service. She'll help you with everything through the Lightning Lane stuff, all that. It gets a little more hectic than you think. Tim in Smithtown. What's up, Tim?
Hey, how are you? I want to disagree with you on the whole Aaron Rodgers thing.
Then please, you've called the right place. How would you disagree with me if you don't call? Perfect. Let's go.
First of all, I want to agree with you on Disney. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as Aaron Rodgers, you know what? If you told me he missed all the OTAs and then he was out in California and he missed the you know, he missed all the OT, the mini camp, then I'd say, all right, you know, great, I'm concerned. But he did show up for all the OTAs, mm-hmm. and he has done everything since he's been on the Jets.
100%.
He showed up 100% of the time.
Other than missing those 2 days, and sometimes, and mainly while he was out with injury, still doing interviews, and because he wasn't playing, so much other stuff came up that he was constantly talking about other things outside of football and creating noise that he himself would question the Jets on how much noise they created. Other than those two facts, from the minute he decided to become a Jet, he has been all in. He has worked with players. He had the moniker of kind of being someone that young players can't relate to. He's gone to events. He's done, you know, the Ranger game, the Knick game, Broadway shows. I mean, he's got his teammates buying him chains. They're out there praising him on social media. Hard Knocks, you watch that Hard Knocks, the team thinks of him as almost like half man, half God. Like, he has done everything.
Yeah, everything's been positive.
I completely agree. Other than not being able to play because of injury, I think he's shown you in every way, shape, and form that he is all about trying to win with the New York Jets. I'm 100% with you.
Yeah, I think it's unfair. I think he's like you said, he's all in on everything. Where it goes, I have no idea. But,
well, yeah, and well, what's the disagreement? Do you have a problem with what he's... Because I have a problem with how he answered the question on this podcast or whatever. Like, I do have a problem with him trying to talk around the idea. Own it. You missed days that were deemed to be, by the league, not just the Jets, deemed to be mandatory. You missed them. Don't give me this talk around nonsense trying to make it seem like you didn't miss mandatory days. You did. And yes, you made 10 of 12, good enough for me, but then just own it. Don't make it seem like those 2 days weren't any more significant other than, you know, they were mandatory. You're an NFL player, and you didn't show. You went to Egypt instead. Just own it.
Yeah, they're mandatory, like no pads, nothing, anything going on.
Agreed.
So, like I said, if he turned around and told you that he wasn't, you know, didn't show up for everything else, yeah, I'd be concerned. But I think from what he's done, I think I have no concerns.
No, yeah, I don't have any concerns either, other than his health. That's the only concern I have. I still think he has it. I still think he can play. I think he knows this offense. I think whatever we think of this offensive coach, I think him and Hackett work together well. I expect this offense to work well. As long as the offensive line is healthy, and even if the offensive line isn't so healthy, like, he didn't get hurt because of the offensive line. I mean, in fact, the play was to get rid of the ball quickly. He held on to it too long. That's a mistake from him. He needs to be better than that. He needs to understand his injury history, his age. You can't be trying to make every single play. The play is designed where the offensive lineman's not going to hold his block and you have to get rid of the ball quickly. Do it. Don't try and be hero because it's your first series with the Jets and you wanted to make a moment. Do what the play is designed to do. And as long as he does that, I don't, even a bad offensive line, this wasn't like a constant toll of being sacked and sacked and sacked and sacked, and then he got driven into the ground and broke his collarbone. He took a bad step and his Achilles popped. I don't even know how much it had to do with the offensive line, quite honestly. So, but hopefully the offensive line is better so he doesn't take a beating. As long as he stays healthy, and Wilson stays healthy, and Hall stays healthy, and hopefully Mike Williams stays healthy, they have enough weapons, they have a decent enough offensive line, and he's still good enough where I expect them to be at least, you know, better than average offensively. They might not be the greatest show on turf. They might not be the most dynamic offense in the division, you know, with the passing game of and the wide receiving speed and talent that Miami has. They might be a more dynamic offense, but it should be good enough to win with that defense, and I expect them to play well. So, I mean, I'm pumped for the season. As long as he stays healthy, that's my only concern. I don't think it's going to be a bad fit. I don't think he's going to struggle playing the game. I don't think Hackett and him, you know, it's been years since they've made it work and it won't work. I think all of it is on target to be successful. It's just he needs to be under center every game. Otherwise, it doesn't. But at least now, I mean, listen, if he gets hurt again the way he did in the beginning of the year and he's done for the entire season, there's no helping the Jets. But if he breaks a finger, if he does, you know, I don't know, dislocate the opposite shoulder, or if he misses 3 or 4 weeks, they have a competent backup, which they should have had last year. They have a competent backup in Tyra Taylor, who can win a couple of games, keep you afloat until Aaron Rodgers gets back. So even if he is injured, even if he gets a high ankle sprain, Even if he misses a couple weeks, the season's not dead the way it was with Achilles and Zach Wilson. So just don't have a devastating injury that costs you the year. Otherwise, I think this team is, without question, going to break the playoff streak and without question going to be a real threat inside this AFC. 888-808-1019. We'll take your football calls. We'll still take baseball calls. We got to get to my miserable vacation this week, which is unfair to call it miserable, but it just wasn't what I thought it would be. And I got to give you all the reasons why. 888-808-1019, because I have to vent and bitch and complain. Otherwise, what am I doing here? I have a microphone. I might as well use it to get out my own personal grievances. What should we do, talk sports for 5 hours?
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw on third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer. As a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fan.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 240, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. I was just watching a video of, I guess Tom Brady and Eli have kind of had this. And it's almost, even that is obnoxious with Tom Brady. I know I have zero tolerance for the guy. I'm not sure why, honestly. I have to look deep inside and wonder why. I mean, I respect him. How can you not respect Tom Brady? He's Tom Brady. But at the same time, I just feel like I've had enough of him. I'm actually somewhat interested, to be fair. I'm somewhat interested to see what kind of broadcaster he's going to be. I'm sure he's going to be great. I mean, the insight into a mind who clearly, I mean, I know he's got great talent, but he didn't just do this on talent alone. Like, I've said this a lot. To me, Tom Brady is, I mean, if you asked 100 people on the street, and I was going to do a, without Marco here, I didn't want to do it, but I was going to do for my things that ruined my vacation, I was going to play like a Family Feud game and ask these guys top 10 answer on the board. But if you ask 100 people, who's the greatest football player of all time? Just all different age groups and demographics. I think a lot of people would probably end up just saying Tom Brady. It's the road answer. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. Clearly, that would get almost 99 out of 100 votes. But just flat out greatest football player of all time. I think you'd end up getting more Tom Brady than anything else, would be my guess. I mean, you get some Lawrence Taylor around here. You get some Jim Brown. I know Jerry Rice was on like the top of the list in one of the lists I saw a couple years ago. But I think you get a lot of Tom Brady. And I would say this, that Tom Brady is the least talented, physically talented player to be considered the greatest at their sport. I think Michael Jordan was far more physically gifted than Tom Brady. And I'm not even saying this is an insult or it's a positive to be able to become this without the great talent in many ways. But I think Wayne Gretzky is far more talented than Tom Brady, physically gifted and talented than Tom Brady. I mean, and the numbers, I mean, Tom Brady won. If you took away Wayne Gretzky's goals, he would still have more points than any other player in the history of the NHL. Like, he's on another level. Tom Brady just won a lot. He didn't put up, and he won some MVPs, don't get me wrong, and threw some touchdown passes, but I mean, Wayne Gretzky was insane. Michael Jordan, it's Michael Jordan. Yes, he won, but it was because he was also the scoring leader every single stinking year. You know, Babe Ruth hit more home runs than franchises. Like, I would say that Tom Brady's the least talented, best player at his sport. But this is just a side note. I'm not going to get on Brady too much. But they have this fake, like, kind of fun rivalry. And it's almost obnoxious with Brady and Eli because Brady's the only one who could play it off because he's won so damn much. You know it's not actually bothering him that Eli Manning cost him two Super Bowls. I mean, I'm sure it is on some level, but and cost him the undefeated season. But, like, Tom Brady's able to kind of just, like, have fun with it and play it off because he's the ultimate winner even with those two losses. And Eli's the only guy who got him. But I guess apparently they were joking with him and he was signing a bunch of Tom Brady Buccaneer jerseys and they slipped an Eli Manning jersey in there. And he wrote blank off on the jersey. F word off. F off. And then they gave it to Eli to sign, and he signed his name and then just put good game. Now, if that's not, even I who hate Tom Brady, that'd be a pretty cool jersey to have. Imagine having that in your a Tom Brady signed Eli Manning jersey with FU, F off, and then Eli Manning signed good game. Have an Eli Manning jersey like that's a giant. I mean, if you, of all the memorabilia you could have, And I'm not the biggest memorabilia guy, but that would be pretty awesome to hang in your basement. Got to admit, that would be a pretty cool one. Because that's, you know, back to when we actually won championships around here. That was as good a championship as any. I mean, now that the football's under, you know, football starts today, we're going to show up to camp. We're talking about championships with the Yankees, the Mets. The Knicks are in line for a championship, right? They're going to be one of the teams at the top of the Eastern Conference this year. At least we all hope so. I don't know if any of them could compete with that giant run and beating the undefeated Patriots. To beat Belichick and Brady, the undefeated Patriot team, that's about as good a championship as you could have. That was sweet that day, man. It doesn't get better than that. But football's almost here. Let's get back to the call. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, hi, Chris. How about this for a statement about Aaron Rodgers?
Okay.
Would you say that this statement is true, that there can't be any distractions unless it's coming from him? That's in actions. All right? Which makes him frustrating and obnoxious.
Okay? Yeah, I mean, listen, that's hard to argue. That's kind of, I called him a hypocrite. It kind of felt like that. No distractions unless I'm doing it. Yeah.
Right.
In other words, I mean, that's pretty much what I'm saying. So, yeah, you're right.
Yep. And so about the Yankees, you know, Chris, when they were 50-22, I don't want to say I was the ultimate jinx, but the idea, like 100 wins was 50-40.
Yeah.
And, you know, it looked doable because Carl was, you know, on the cusp of returning. He had not returned, or maybe he had one start. Anyway, now the Yankees, after, and I said we talked about this, they went 10-20.
They went
10-20.
Yeah,
so how about this? It's 60-42. There are 60 games left.
Yes.
I mean, I'm looking at this, unless there's some kind of seismic event at the trade deadline, is there a path for the Yankees to win 40 out of the last 60 games?
Without significantly getting better at the trade deadline, it's a hard thing to foresee.
And you know, with that being said, what is the number that, you know, for the first wild card, what's the number?
The first
like
wild
92,
card?
93. You know, what do you think?
I'm going to let you go because I hear myself back. I hope you can listen to my answer through the radio, bud. Let's see. Right now, the Yankees are 3.5 games up on Minnesota. They're playing 5.56 baseball. So let's just extrapolate that the rest of the way. Right? 162 times .556. That's 90 wins. The Minnesota Twins and pretty much the Kansas City Royals are on pace for 90 wins. And that's if they play the exact same way. So let's just bump it a couple of games. I mean, 90 wins, I would think, probably gets you into the playoffs, and I would say 93-94 wins guarantees you the first wild card. If they can get 94 wins, they're going to be in the wild card. So that puts them at, what, 34? There's 60 games left, so they have to go 34-26. They have to go 8 games over .500 the rest of the way. Right? Am I doing my math right? Yes. 34-26. Just making sure, yeah. So if the Yankees go 34-26, 8 games over .500, I think they will win the first wild card. But I'm still focused on the division. Call me crazy. They're a game and a half back. This thing isn't over. And let's be honest. Here's the other thing nobody wants to talk about. Baltimore's just been almost just as bad. Maybe not over the full 20 games or so, or the full 30 games, but over the last week? Over the last, you know, 10 days, they've been just as bad. Over the last 10 days, they've been a game worse. The Yankees have picked up a game in the last 10 days. The Yankees are 5-5, and the Orioles are 4-6. The Orioles have not. The Orioles were right there with the Yankees when they had 50. When they were where they are, when they were the best team in baseball, the Orioles are right there. Now that they've been the worst team in baseball, the Orioles are still right there, a game and a half better. So, I mean, 96 wins, 95 wins might win you the division. Tommy in Astoria, what's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good. How are you, bud?
I was scared for you at the beginning of the show, the way everybody was yelling at you about Glaber and McNeil.
I know. Crazy. I had to come out and, you know, throw fisticuffs. I was not expecting to need to keep my head on a swivel there just to open the show. But that's all I said was, is I'd rather have him than Jeff McNeil. It's not like I said I'd rather have him than, you know, even Jonathan India or another like big time, another second baseman throughout the league. Like Jeff McNeil's been terrible. He lost his starting position.
No,
he's a bench player right now.
Yeah. Mets fans hate McNeil, Yankee fans hate Glaber, but when you start criticizing him, then we all defend the guy. It's funny. Yep. So this is you're coming up on a year anniversary, right?
Already passed. July 10th.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I was the week. I know. I think everyone else started on the... Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you. I think everyone else, all the other shows, the full schedule started on the 24th, but I started first because Sal was getting ready to, you know, the position was kind of open. So I started on the 10th. So I've already had my 1 year anniversary. I'm 2 weeks into my second year.
Can I hit you before I met my Yankee play? Can I hit you with a little Big Mac overnight minutia? I've always got a kick out. I always love the fact there's one word, and it's a noun that you use all the time. It's got to be one of your favorite words.
Okay.
And you say it all the time.
Putrid?
All the time. No. Myriad. You say myriad all the time. I love it.
For a myriad of reasons?
And the best was last year, you were working. Remember that trip where the Yankees were falling apart against Colorado and the Angels?
Yeah, right out of the All-Star break. Yeah.
And you said, this team's losing for a myriad of reasons. And the number one reason is they stink. It was a classic Big Mac.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Classic Big Mac. Who knew I had such classic moments? Thank you very much.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. What do you got?
Oh, okay. Yeah. As a Mets fan, I'd gladly take a split here. I think a little worried. I think Yankee bats might be heating up a little bit. And Quintana and Manaya are very hit and miss.
Well,
you know,
I mean, that's the thing. The Yankees are throwing, and thank you for all the kind words, man. I appreciate it. I do. Good to know I have someone out there who doesn't hate my guts. The Yankees are throwing out their two best pitchers. Now, Heal is still a little bit of a concern. He's been better, and he's got the best, you know, his stuff and what he's been all year. He's been their second best pitcher, and clearly Cole is Cole. And hopefully he's back, and he's really looked like the last two starts, he's really getting his feet underneath him. But not that he's incapable of a bad start, but the Yankees are throwing their two best starters, and clearly Severino has been the best Mets starter. And though he had some things to say, which I'm surprised, like, I thought it was clearly tongue-in-cheek. And, you know, he's talking about how they were busting his shoes about not pitching in either of the series, and he went back, I'm not scared, you only have two hitters. Like, I thought that was, he shouldn't have said it publicly, I guess, because that is insulting the entire roster, insulting the entire lineup. And for guys like Wells, who seemed to answer the question with, hey, we don't pay attention to outside noise, after the game yesterday. Maybe guys like Wells, who don't know him that well, had 1 year with him and know him as a terrible starting pitcher for the Yankees last year. But I think most of the team took it with a grain of salt, I would have thought, but we'll see. But yeah, the other reason is the Yankees are throwing their two best, and the Yankees are missing the Mets' best in Severino, who's been their best starting pitcher. That's why I wouldn't sign for it. You're not seeing the Yankees' best. You're not seeing the Mets' best, and both of the Yankees' best starting pitchers are throwing in the series. But as a Met fan, I think the answer is easy. You're clearly willing to take a split. You take a split, you win the season series 3-4, 3 out of 4. Who would you rather knock around, Fleegs? How about that one? Say one, the one game you win, say there is a split. One game you win, it's because you beat up the starting pitcher. Would you rather, like, really put the fear of God in the Yankee fans that Luis Gil is now a problem? Or would you rather take on the best pitcher in baseball, even though the Yankee fan would still be comfortable with Gerrit Cole after? Nobody's going to think he's a disaster, just a bad start, still kind of working his way back. But you beat the best pitcher in baseball.
As fun as it would be, because you're right, if the Mets beat up Gil, like, yeah, it'll be, you know, Panic City will move from Queens to the Bronx.
Right.
There's more of a sense of accomplishment,
right,
in beating Gerrit Cole. And it would make me feel better, like, okay, Mets got off to a slow start out of the break in Miami, but this offense is back on track. They hit a guy who, even if he's not the best pitcher, but he's still top five, and that makes me feel better about them moving forward. So it's easily Cole for me.
Fleegs, this is why I love you, because that is an answer of a Met fan who cares more about his team than sticking it to the Yankees. And I know a couple of fans who would gladly take the victory, still tell themselves what you just said you would tell yourself, but also the added element of really sticking it to the idea that you got guys like BT saying it's like Gooden all over again when he was hot at the start of the year. And to stick it to the Yankees and maybe put a real, you know, burst the balloon of the last two starts from Luis Gil. But you're not concerned about that. You're concerned about your team, as you should rightfully be. Congratulations. You passed the test.
Well, thank you. And, like, listen, there's nothing, you know, we all know every fan wants to dish it out, but then they look for the excuses if their team loses the Subway Series.
Right.
You know, like, there would be Yankee fans, oh, well, you hit Gil. He's, you know, a young pitcher. He's figuring it out.
Right.
The excuses would be there. There's no excuse. I don't care about the injury. He's back now.
100%.
Been great the last two times out. There's no excuses if you beat Gerrit Cole.
No.
And now it would be in his stadium on his mound.
Yep. Let's hope it doesn't happen.